Hi, welcome to episode 96 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris, and we have special guest. Not even guest, I wouldn't call Jeff a guest. He's just, Jeff is
here. Recurring alternative host.
Jeff is here too.
Say I'm here.
There we go. In tonight's episode, we each, so this is the coronavirus lockdown. We're all in our respective homes. And COVID-19. We've all had delivered or picked up beers from local breweries, but because of the coronavirus, we're going to start with Corona beer. And Jeff has a non-Corona sort of equivalent.
Oh, no. Yeah, I do.
So I've got the little pony Corona Extra. Mike's got the Corona in a can. And what did you have, Jeff?
This is Denizen's Brewing PGC Premium Lager. So it's a American lager.
It's like a very good version of what we're trying to drink.
Sure.
So it's do you hear that? Normally you get your lime in the can. Do you have a lime with your Corona there, Chris?
Don't have a lime, no.
But what better beer to celebrate this COVID-19? Oh, God damn it.
Is your
Look at the golden color of this beer here.
So mine claims to be, because it's not Corona, I can give you some stats. This Denizen's Premium Lager is a 4.1 alcohol by volume. And it's crisp, honeysuckle, and refreshing.
Is that what you read or what you're tasting?
That's what I read.
Okay.
Honeysuckle, eh? I believe mine says La Cerveza Maspina.
So my thought about the Corona, I thought it was going to be horrible, but it's actually not too bad just for like, it really does remind me of like beach or Caribbean or summer or like just mowing the lawn type beer. And it's not great. There's like no special flavor about it, but it's an easy drinking like summer beer.
It's crisp and delicious. It's Maspina. I think
it is truth in advertising. I mean, what were you saying, Jeff?
I love a Corona, and the only thing I like better than a Corona for a summer drinking beer is Pacifico, which is, you know, Corona's cousin.
Right.
I think they're perfect hot weather beers for sure.
So have you heard the horrible news with regard to Corona?
The beer?
Yes, they've stopped producing it.
Really?
Yeah, there's an article on CNN that Corona has ceased production because of COVID and lockdown and I think brand issues. They have taken their beer off the shelves, which I think is a mistake because there's probably a lot more people that think like us, which is, wow, what better beer to drink right now than Corona?
Yes, there are other people broken just like us, yeah.
Yes, but I think the masses are more like, oh, I better not drink Corona because I'll get the virus. They think there's an association between.
So this is the magic of the lockdown, you know, living in an urban environment, is that all of the food, all of the sundries, and now the beer. And booze. They're in mixed cocktails can be delivered and everything.
In the bag, no less.
Yeah, it's great.
What is, Jeff, since you're the one drinking the local beer, maybe talk a little bit about what you got.
Yeah,
who are your beers from today?
So I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, a suburb of D.C., you know, just over the border of D.C. And in the past few years, we've had a number of breweries pop up right in downtown Silver Spring. But of those breweries, I'm pretty sure that Denizen's was the first. You know, convenient for me, it was directly across the street from my former office space. So it was really great for happy hour. So Denizen's is the brewery who makes this PGC premium lager. And get in front of me so it doesn't disappear.
That's PG Prince George's County for.
That's what I was about to ask.
The non-Marylanders.
I think so. Yeah. So Denizen's now have been around for a few years. They have a really great brew pub, kind of a really great scene. They support, you know, our kind of. Help out all the other local breweries. There's kind of a good kind of grouping of all of them. And we're the first to jump on the capability to do this home delivery. and they're really, really great, I think. They're just the mainstay of the craft brew scene here in Silver Spring. They tend to focus on Belgian, kind of Belgian-oriented beers, but they
nice.
Some really nice IPAs, actually one of the best IPAs, I think, that you could drink today, they're putting out too.
What?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Actually, it's their Southside Rye IPA.
Okay.
It's really, in which, you know, rye, we can get to it, but rye IPAs, you know, maybe have, I don't want to say fallen out of favor, they're just not as popular as they were. They had a you know, flash in the pan moment, but they still
beat
one, and it's pretty stunning.
We made a rye IPA with you.
I think that's right. That sounds about right.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. I remember so, that. Jeff, did you talk about your beer yet? Other than read the label?
The premium lager. Yeah. So, you know, they do hype it up on the label and say crisp, honeysuckle, refreshing. This is, you know, it's a light color. It's really effervescent. It has a traditional lager bitterness to it. Very light body, lager bitterness. I'm not picking up honeysuckle, honestly. It is very crisp, very refreshing. You could knock back more of these than you'd care to at the premium price that you pay for, you know, Denizens, versus just picking up a Corona.
All right.
Can you hear my Corona effervescence?
It is pretty effervescent.
I was trying to put the bubbles up to the microphone.
So I didn't realize, I left my wife to order the beers, and she ended up ordering this one that I'm going to move on to, which is called Seltzer in Place. It's a citrus seltzer.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That does not sound like a beer.
It's not actually a beer.
That sounds like one of those woman.
Yes, it's an alcoholic
70-calorie club soda things.
It's basically an alcoholic seltzer water. And I actually opened it earlier, and I saved a little bit for the podcast. But it tastes like seltzer water with a tiny hint of like lemon in it. So I'm not going to talk much more about it, but it's fine. I don't know.
Well,
kind of breaks the rules for me. Now, and if you like to drink it, that's fine. I hold it against nobody. But you know, one of my rules for imbibing in the adult beverages is it can't be too easy to drink. And I really love drinking seltzer. Like if I just want to, if
you
I want to
destroy yourself on this stuff,
yeah. Right? I want to have seltzer, and I love it. All sorts of flavors. No, you know, I don't like seltzer with any sugar, but if it has some fruit, hint of fruit in it, that's fine. But if they just like sneak some alcohol in there and it's too easy to drink, yeah, you just kind of get wrecked when you just think maybe you're just quenching your thirst.
So full disclosure, I started the evening with this. So just before
barefoot
I give
strawberry hard seltzer.
Yeah, just saying. Well, because I got a 4-pack for my daughter and she left half a can in the fridge. And I'm like, but she's not going to be back and that'll be flat. So I'll just finish that. And it's exactly what Jeff said.
I also kind of took the position like you're paying a premium for someone to put a dash of vodka in some seltzer. And if you just get drunk off some seltzer, just put a half a shot of vodka in your seltzer.
That's what I do. I go to Giant and get those things like 50 cents for two for the blackberry seltzer water. And then you put a little vodka in it. You're good.
There you go.
All right.
I'll get my first beer because I left the wrong.
I don't think Chris is using his really expensive blue microphone.
Is my audio choppy?
No, it's good.
You sound, I don't know. Do I sound as tinny as he does?
No, see, you both sound just fine, I think. Maybe it's your audio. I am on a high quality, you know, Zoom puck here or Jabra puck.
Yeah, I didn't get my microphone. I'll do that next time. But I want to talk about my brewery. My beers, my real beers, including that seltzer thing, are from a brewery near me. I'm located in the South Denver suburbs in unincorporated Arapahoe County. And I'm drinking from Resolute Brewing Company, which is right around the corner here in Centennial, Colorado, like a mile and a half from my house. And the first beer I'm drinking from them is called Whack Job. It's a New Zealand Session IPA.
New Zealand Session. What the hell's just because it's hops from New Zealand?
Yeah, I'm wondering
that's what I would guess.
New Zealand doesn't have a beer style yet, do they? Not well, maybe not that we know about.
Does it taste like kiwi?
I'll find out.
But they're never heard of New Zealand style.
So Resolute Brewing Company is a cool, very cool little beer brewery slash bar. Not a brew pub because they don't really have food, but basically just a microbrewery and bar. It's close to the office. We've gone there from the office a couple of times. They always have like a great selection, 12 or more different beers on tap.
That's your story.
That's my story. I looked up more about the brewery, but it was like the typical thing, like finance guy, an engineer guy, and another guy that got tired of their corporate jobs and wanted to start a brewery. So
why haven't we started that about us page yet? Just saying. We're men of means in this post-COVID war. Haven't we realized there's more to life than just our basic existence? And wouldn't we be better served cleaning vats regularly and trying to market some other homebrew? Yes.
So
no.
Yes.
I guess not.
I mean, yeah, but you know, Mike, what's your brewery?
My brewery.
One other thing. Mine was home delivered as well. Resolute. A number of the breweries around me actually do home delivery. So I've tried a couple of them, but little discussion we'll get into later. Resolute is definitely the best local place that has canned beer, and it still tastes good in the can. I've had a couple of others that, you know, there's a lot of places that are cool microbreweries or brew pubs to like hang out at and drink the beer there, but when they can or crowler or have the beer to go, it's not great. Always. So these guys actually do a good job of whatever they're doing with their beer. Number one, the beer is good. And then number two, the beer taken away is good.
So my beers are from this excellent brewery I discovered almost a year ago. I think they're coming up on their second anniversary. I learned about them in late May of last year, called True Respite, located in Durwood, Maryland. Right by where we used to work when we worked at that All Hat contract back in the day. So they have a special membership called Key Mason, which I recently joined to support the craft brew industry during these tough times of COVID, where they might not be doing enough business. And when I went in, they do have a Beer Me Home delivery option, but because I was picking up their special weekly brew, that was pickup only, so I had to go on site. And there were like cars just boom, 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 boom. I think they might be busier now than they were before COVID, because now everybody wants to do something different.
Just internet people in and out picking up their beers?
Yeah, well, yeah, the guys came out in masks delivering beers. I was wearing a mask receiving my beer. The first, so I have a series of beers. Actually, you guys can pick which one I should drink here. So they make amazing beer. Their brewmaster is phenomenal. And they've done partnerships with other brewers. Like this one here is a deal with Dawson's, which is, I have to read more about that. But I know they keep doing these. I think they've done something with DeClaw. They've done things with, what's another one? Oscars, maybe? I don't know. They've done a bunch of
collabs.
Thank you.
As they call it.
I know they have a word for it. Collaboration brewing. But they do across the board. So they have like this nut brown ale, which I actually like. I hate brown ales, and you know I hate brown ales. They have a vanilla porter, which I thought of Sherry when that came in. I got a mixed 4-pack. They make amazing IPAs. They also do some pretty decent sours. So the ones they just released now are these fruited sours that I'm going to try tomorrow with my new friend. She comes over tomorrow because it's essential. All right. So talk about what makes a New Zealand IPA. What's the color on that?
So it's a
Ooh, that's
opaque,
hazy.
Opaque. Yeah, it's kind of hazy looking. Orange, dark orange, I would say. It's definitely got like a little more of the dank hoppiness than a brighter or floral hop. It's definitely a danker hop.
So are they just calling it New Zealand to compete with the New England?
I think it's New Zealand hops. That's what I would assume. Let me actually look up, do my 5 minutes of research.
All right.
Yeah, so what are some New Zealand hops? Is the, oh gosh. Well, we have the power of the internet. If only there's something we could ask.
6 minutes of prep.
I mean, I have seen them talking nice about
crisp clean here.
Nelson Sauvin. That's one that I thought was from New Zealand.
Oh my God, this Hefeweizen is delicious. Oh my gosh, I wish I could share this with you guys.
Is it a clovey banana?
It's got a little banana going. Oh, it's smooth and sweet. It's sweet. It's got a nice frothy white head. Mm. Oh, wow. Let's see. Let me read the, I don't know how to read and my glasses don't work.
Maybe it's the eyes that don't work.
No, the eyes don't work, right? I'm sorry. The glasses work. My eyes just don't work behind them. So it's the white tail. I'm going to look up deets on that while you guys tell me about New England.
All right, whack job. So this, the whack comes from the Whackatoo hops. There's also Moorter hops and Southern something hops. It doesn't, Southern Cross hops from the Kiwi Nation. So all the hops are, yeah, that's basically what makes it New Zealand. All the hops are from New Zealand, the land of the hobbits. Reminiscent of something of the Pacific Northwest, given its pronounced grapefruit and pine character.
I would definitely say talked about the dankness.
Maybe more of the pine. I don't get too much grapefruit, though.
Maybe that's just what they call bitter. So, Jeff, did you read the marketing material on my Hefeweizen, or did you just ask out of...
No, I was asking for like what kind of comes around for standard potential Hefeweizen notes, yeah.
When I looked it up, they're like, look for hints of clove and banana.
Well, it's usually like one or the other.
This one says both.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's very drinkable. And it has a little sweet finish, so that's what it reminds me of a Belgian, Jesus Christ.
And, I have not had a good Hefeweizen in a long time, because I feel like it's the style of beer that kind of just gets passed over with, you know, we have this just continuing, well, so we went from like the major just explosion of craft beer in general to right now, well, depending on where you live, you know, this hyper-local, you know, local craft beer scene. So not only you're kind of overwhelmed by just this really great explosion of craft beer in general, then you've got all your local choices too. And so like, I feel like Hefeweizen isn't like the star of the show of a lot of breweries.
Right.
So you kind of want to pick out their top, you know, everyone's got a great IPA, whether it's a New England or Pacific or whatever, you know, and then what else is hot right now? Well, sours.
Sours, yeah. Everybody's
you get your sours, and you still get your Star of the Show IPAs. People, you know, the breweries are still coming out with their stouts or porters with a twist, you know, over the colder months. And then there's some really stunning heffies out there. And
yeah,
I just pass them by, I think. I don't think about it. But then when you get one, you're like, oh, wow, that's right.
This right.
Is a great beer.
It's a good beer. And like, I don't feel like, you know, I remember when I first got exposed to them, like, what was it, the late 90s, early 2000s or whatever. And you know, oh, I got to put your orange or your lime or whatever, or your lemon, or put some fruit in your Hefeweizen, you know, then it was cloudy. It was like one of the first cloudy beers you could get.
That's right.
Know,
yeah.
It would kick on the bottom a little bit. I remember going out to Portland in the 90s and getting good Hefeweizen from, was it Pyramid and the Whitmer, Witter Brothers?
Widmer?
Come on, you guys, Widmer Brothers?
There's,
is that who it was?
Widmer or whatever in
Widmer,
Oregon.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were out there then, and that was some good Hefeweizen, but this is reminiscent of that, of, you know, no need to add fruit. It has its own flavor profile and you're good with it. You don't need to put any other citrus into it. And Jeff, I highly, highly recommend. I don't even know, you might be in the delivery district for True Respite. They have a connection with Beer Me. I would check it out, man, because all their beers are good and they try to do across the spectrum. Like every time I went there, and I've been there like maybe 12 times, and now I work like, well, when COVID ends, I will be back at work, but my home office is about a mile away. So that's why I was like, well, I guess I can go there every once in a while. They have different beer every time I went there. That's some of the standards, but that's, and sometimes I'll go back and redo it, but they had one that was better than Heady Topper. That they had a double IPA that just was smoother. They make some really good beers. I highly recommend going over to True Respite.
All right. Well, I just pulled it up. I'll add it to the list and I'll see if I can get it while we're on lockdown.
But definitely, I mean, and if they don't deliver, then we should make a date to meet there when they open the world back up.
Definitely. I got to react to your comment about Heady Topper though. But like, Heady Topper is a phenomenal beer, right?
It is an amazing beer.
But like, what's a more hyped beer than Heady Topper has been in the last like 5 years?
Pliny the Younger.
Sure, maybe. But so when you first had Heady, you were like, "Wow, this is good." But did it live up to the hype? Like how much hype it had
the first time?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've had it 2 or 3 times, I think, all in your presence, and I think that it was all good, but I don't know if it ever like lived up to my expectations. But my thought is, like you're saying, they have a beer that might be better than Heady Topper, and be like, well, maybe you think it's better than Heady Topper because you had no expectations for it at all, you know?
Right. Fair enough.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, what made me come to that conclusion is I was up in Gore Mountain again, and my friends from Vermont came over and brought us some Heady Topper and some Lawson's, and that doesn't matter. I ended up with a can of Heady Topper because it was canned on my birthday. And so I drank it and I was like, I've had so many really good IPAs lately. Like, this is not the shit anymore. But when I was up there, though, had some Focal Banger. That stuff's good beer. Like,
that's good. Yeah.
You know, that's the single. That's not the double IPA. That's just a regular IPA, the Alchemist Focal Banger. And, yeah, but there's, I don't know, my other cousin gets some good beers from Jersey. Like you're saying, like there's a local scene. Like everybody's pretty much got the thing down. And if you do it right, like one of these ones on the True Respite, they're Supa Troopa. You know, which you would like with your, Rhode Island accent. That was a pretty damn good beer. I have this one beer I'm a little bit nervous about, but I want to save it for tomorrow. It's called an Orange Creamsicle. It's a fruited sour made with lactose and vanilla. And
lactose beers, that's like the milkshake beers is like one of the new more recent trends,
and that I haven't tried yet.
Yeah,
I got to I feel like this comes up every time we end up talking about a new style of beer and just give myself the forward, like I blew it. I should have gone into business. I was making light IPAs before light IPAs were a thing. I was making rye IPAs before rye IPAs were a thing.
You sure were. You were making good fucking rye IPAs.
And I started messing with lactose like right at the very end of my home brewing career. But no one, people were only using lactose back then as like a way to like make their stouts heavier.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And now.
Anyway.
Now it's the milkshake. Sugar is the sugar. Yeah.
So you guys had them. Have you tried? Are they any good? Are they worth the hype?
I haven't had them recently at all.
I've had a couple. I don't know. They're kind of tough. I mean, sometimes they're good. They just don't. I hate to like say they don't taste like beer, but they kind of don't taste like beer.
Well, that's well then good, because I'm trying to find that thing that. So here's a recent beer experience. Now that I am out in the world, you know, again, and I have a new friend, who, in this whole online world of dating, you would set up a profile, right? And one of the things on my profile is, you know, I have neck beards and breweries, right? That's, you know, that's what I'm looking for, and I have. So she doesn't have the neck beard, of course, but, you know, likes breweries. They're great. So then we started hanging out. It's like, oh, so you like breweries? I don't like beer, though. What? how can you like breweries and not like beer? I like sours, you know, I like ciders, I like seltzer, but I don't like beer. It's like, oh, God, you just haven't had the right beer. But she likes going to breweries and likes the experience. And that part's great. Unfortunately, in the middle of our courtship, of course, we've been hit by this COVID thing. So we had to put on hold testing this theory. But I ordered all these sours and fruited sours, things that I'm not exactly the hugest fan of, on the hopes that maybe I can find something that hits the middle ground that we both can enjoy the artistry and chemistry of that beverage.
So one thing you mentioned there is the thing I wanted to talk about, the experience of going to the brewery and like hanging out and having fun versus the, I've had a couple of experiences with, small microbreweries where the beer is kind of like mediocre. It's not horrible, but it tastes like, you know, but maybe average homebrew, like kind of homebrewish, some of them. And
right.
Remember like our Bane Hound experience, how that beer was like pretty mediocre, but we had like a good time there. We were playing Cards Against Humanity something and just hanging out. So there's like a couple of those places that I've been to recently where like one of them's like, you know, along the road in this mountain town that I go past often and like go stop in this place because it's like a cool little place to hang out in the you know, on your way back from a hike or something. But the beer is like mediocre, like super mediocre, but it's a cool place to hang out and they play cool music and there's, you know, there's people to talk to and it's nice to get a refreshing drink after a hike and stuff. And then there's another one that was really close to me that ended up closing down, but I had their beer a couple of times. I was like, this is like kind of bad actually. But
maybe that's why they closed down.
And then another one that I had delivered and I was like, this beer isn't great, like canned and delivered. It was like, I've been there and had like pretty good experiences with the beer in the place. And again, had fun hanging out. So like, I don't know what to think about that. Like, is it okay to have a brewery that is just kind of fun to hang out at and go to, but like not work that hard on? Like, do they know that the beer is mediocre? They must know, right? I don't have like the most refined palate, but I can tell when something tastes like average homebrew.
Well, I mean, they did a study similar to that with wine, right? That they're like, it's all about the ambiance and the atmosphere, and they can give you cheap wine, but put you in the right mindset and you're going to enjoy the hell out of it. And typically on like, you know, especially with those vineyard tours, by the time you get to the third one, yeah, you're not tasting anything. It's all about the company you came with and right. How they treat you. So, you know, I'm on the experience makes the flavor or the enjoyment of the product that much better. I think a test like this right now, like, you know, what was your brewery again that you got your delivery from?
Resolute, yeah.
So how is the Resolute holding up in a can in your basement, staring at a computer screen, talking to your friends about beer?
It's good. I mean, that's why I kind of...
Then that's legit
that's
good,
That's why
right?
I switched over to this brewery, because like the first home delivery I did, I was like, oh yeah, this beer wasn't that great. But I had fun when I went there. And then this one, I was like, oh, I know their beer is good. Let me try them out. And their beer has been good in cans.
Well, maybe that's what this whole COVID thing will help with, because True Respite, again, in going to the place, it's a good experience. It's nothing. They don't do anything necessarily over the top special. So their beer is good. When I went to that parking lot, there was a flow of cars, bang, 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 bang. So maybe they'll survive, but these other breweries that are are going to go out of your way to get this beer? Are you going to risk your life and limb to buy a six-pack?
When it's just the beer, is it going to be worth it?
Right. You're like, no, I'm not paying all that extra charge.
Is that a cool place that I like to hang out?
I don't know. No,
it's going to disappear.
Well, it disappears, but then somebody better comes in.
That's possible.
I think the places that have a cool scene are going to survive. Because, like, you know, it's appropriate commentary kind of talking about, you know, going on a winery tour and, you know, it's kind of about the company that you're with. But like, wine still has a certain air to it. And, like, what is more like kind of a as long as you have a healthy relationship with alcohol, like, what's more of a kind of a community, you know, drink than beer?
That's true.
Like, just, yeah. Like, that is, like, the, you know, just, in whether it's, like, hanging out in the backyard with friends or going to a cool spot, you know, like.
Right. Beer gardens, beer houses.
All of that, right. So that's the community thing. And wine doesn't have the same thing. And going to a bar and hitting hard drinks is not the same thing. You know, again, so if you're kind of cool with hanging out and having some good beers in a good scene, that type of thing survives. And it survives kind of potentially poor quality drinks or poor array. Like, folks would hang out at that Bang Hound Ale Works all the time. And it wasn't that special. But it was kind of this little tight knit thing.
Yeah, the speakeasy.
Like, had six different beers that all tasted the same, you know, and people loved it because it was just kind of fun to sit at that little bar,
right.
You know, with the mash tuns right behind you right. And play a game of cards. So, yeah, I think it's about the scene for sure. I mean, the places that have the good beer become like the legendary spots.
Yeah,
you know, the Alchemist, you know, Austin's Finest Liquid, you know, those places become, or Hillstead, Hillstead
Farms. Farm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like they become legend. The rest of the places that are just the new community watering hole are the place to go hang out with your friends and make new friends. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I will say that, like, if you do have the quality and, like, I went to this brew pub up outside of Minneapolis called Surly, or maybe in Minneapolis, it's called Surly, like the bike, you know, but they make an awesome beer and it was like the coolest place to go.
And if you can get both
outside. Yeah, exactly. It's like when you have both, like, that shit's nirvana, man.
That's this one little mountain place, because like it's a tiny place. The brewer is like there serving you his beers and like making your sandwich or whatever if you want a sandwich. And he's like the nicest guy in the world, bringing up free tastings of his like mango habanero. I'm like, yeah, that's great, buddy. But the place is so fun and cool. So I don't know.
Well, that, like Jeff said, that's what it is. It's a home away from home. So thanks for this COVID special, our first attempt at a tri-coastal podcast.
Our first non-in-person podcast, so we can actually keep CNBC going outside of the year or year and a half that Mike and I happen to find each other somewhere.
Exactly. The
pandemic to bring us back together.
You took the words out of my mouth. I literally was going to say it took a pandemic to make the video happen.
Sorry.
Well, no. That's why we have you, man. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 96. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/cnbcpodcast. You'll see photos from this potentially on there. Give us a like there. You can also,
I'm definitely putting photos of me getting beer from True Respite on this one.
You can also see our video episodes, which we put out every now and then on YouTube, youtube.com/CNBC podcast. Every now and then I'll go back and revisit some of those. There's some good stuff in there. And they're super short.
Tons of ones with Jeff.
Yeah. You can also follow us on Twitter at CNBC podcast. That's when we post. Anytime we have a new video or a podcast, we'll post it there.
Oh, I have to do a Spanish beer quote, huh?
Spanish.
I'm trying to look one up real quick. One drink is just right. Two are too many. Three, too few. Oh, what's the rest of the quote?
I think that was it.
And I forgot the rest of it because I had four.
It says, page not found. God damn it. That's my quote.
All right. Drink good beer. Cheers.
Drink good beer. Cheers.